Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. Hey, Rex Hupke, what should we talk about today?
Not much going on.
Nothing going on. Yeah. It's so quiet this week. I mean, there was this like one dude who gave a speech at this one place last night that was, you know, I think people were pretty happy about that. And then this other dude gave another one today. Oh, wait. In fact, what actually happened is making me crazy. And it is this. Last night, President Obama was in Chicago. And it is the only time I think, second time I can recall ever looking at Google Maps to see all the streets that were red. And thought it was cool. The first time was when the Cubs won the World Series, and all of the north side turned to red because everybody was out, and it was just gridlock. And the second time was last night because so many people were descending upon McCormick Place, and that was, you know, very cool. And I thought the social media was neat, like watching all that. I obs was not there because I was like, nah, Barack, we're good. I saw you before. We're fine.
I
texted him, and I was like, thanks, but I'm like, I kind of...
Not so much.
I just want to, like, chill in yoga pants tonight and hang out. But you, Michelle, you do your thing.
Yeah, I could have been there, but...
I'll chill with you guys later.
Whatevs.
I'll see you all when you move back. It's cool. And I thought it was lovely, and I loved watching all the social media, and so many people so moved by it, and, gosh, that tribute, like, when he stopped and said... Girl from the South Side, like had that moment to Michelle, and Malia was crying. Oh my God. Yeah. I saw so many people just tweet Malia's tears.
Yep,
right,
I know.
Then.
It was very sweet. I mean, that's one thing, and I'll just never understand it personally, but whatever you think about the man's policies or ideology or whatever, there's a wonderful love in that family that's been very obvious from the get-go, and it has not
and scandal-free.
Changed. Right, and that hasn't changed. And I thought, I mean, even beyond just, you know, any political thing, just the, it's a, they're such a, such a lovely family.
I know.
And they clearly care about each other so much.
Deeply.
And in as much as I can say that, not knowing them personally. But I mean, just, you know, it's, you can, sometimes you can just tell. And I don't think you can fake to that much of a degree. And
right.
So, sorry, haters, but they have, I think, a wonderful family. I think he is a good and intelligent and decent man, and I think that was on display
absolutely
last night. And then, I get that people don't agree with everything. I get that people don't like a lot of things he's done. There's people on the far left that don't like a lot of things he's done and think he's a murderer for various bombings and whatnot. Okay, that's, I don't think there's a perfect president out there.
Well, that's the thing, and we've talked about this before, but this came up in my personal life in a very big way today in a conversation with my father, and I generally leave my parents out of this, but...
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Dad. He's already turned it off because we said Obama. He's like,
bye, Dad.
Out. Bye, Dad. is this, and I said this to him today and over the phone, and that was that I wish that we were in a moment where you can say something positive or negative about a political figure without it being a tell of allegiance.
Right.
You can hate every single thing that Barack Obama did as president and everything he did prior to that leading up to his presidency and still say he is a man with a great deal of love for his family. And he is a thoughtful and you know, appears to be a thoughtful, kind, and moral human being.
Right.
Without saying that you back him. And I think that landed in the conversation this morning, but I'm not sure. And likewise, you can say you can have voted for Trump and say, but I don't like the way he talks about women, mm-hmm. and you haven't betrayed him.
Right.
Although he will think you have, you haven't. And we're not in that moment. And that's so infuriating because that to me is just another one of those things, little details that keeps us in a place where we cannot communicate with one another. Yeah, across the aisle.
Yeah, we're the exact opposite of that moment because and it's sad. And I wrote in writing off of his speech last night. I said I thought I disagreed with virtually everything George W. Bush did,
mm-hmm.
and much of what he stood for. I never thought that he was a bad person or that he
right.
was evil. And I actually bristled at people on the left who sort of tried to paint him as this evil caricature. I thought both of Obama's opponents on the Republican side in the elections, Romney and John McCain, were both good people. I'd never, you know, I mean, I had issues with, you know, business stuff from Romney and what have you, but...
But
you
neither
know,
of them seemed like, man, what a dick.
Right. It's not... None
and
of
that's
them...
a thing that happened with Hillary, right? Like, right away.
Yeah.
She seems like a bitch. What? Yeah, what? Like, that was the first thing people went to, whereas men, they go right to... It, like, almost his personality is irrelevant until it is so extreme that we have Trump on our hands.
Right.
That is the only time, and even then, a lot of people were willing to overlook that. It's like, well, he's a no bullshit kind of guy. What?
Not just to overlook it, but embrace it.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Run with it. Love right. it. Shower in it. Oh, too soon?
Oh, boy. There you go. Now you done did it.
You done did it, Goose.
Our podcast will not be welcome at the press briefings, of which there will probably be none.
I was
going to
say, I don't think you and I would be welcome at a fucking press briefing anyway at this point, so that's quite all right with me.
And speaking of juxtapositions, holy crappers, I mean, we went from...
So let's go to that.
Yeah, we went from...
We all went to bed going all... You know, we were all, like, so filled with the warm glow of, you know, I know someone who really just writes very thoughtful and insightful commentary, and he posted something...
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I know two people that do that. and he posted something like, you know, he was lamenting that he didn't get tickets to the speech last night. And he said, but you know what? That's okay, because to me, it's more about the journey than the destination. And I have benefited from and enjoyed watching every moment of the last 8 years. And so that's okay with me that I don't get to be there in person. That's cool. It's, you know, someone else got to. And I thought that was a very cool and zen approach.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had this warm glow. And then we wake up this morning, and there's another speech happening. And it is Trump's first formal press conference in 167 days.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's given many on the Twitters.
Yeah, it was more of a press conference commercial.
Yeah, so conference is a strong word, because a conference implies that you are conferring.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no conferring happening in this.
No, and I haven't seen it yet. The total number of questions he did. He came back after the 80-minute lawyer spiel and took some more questions. So I don't know how the sum total that he took. It was not a huge number for the length of the. I mean, the press conference went on for
quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like hours, because there was this massive. Talk by his attorney about
massive talk. So I went to print it so that we would have the transcript mm-hmm. in front of us to analyze on our very thoughtful political analysis that we do, Hupke. And I went to print it, and it was the entire transcript of everything from beginning of the press conference to the end.
Oof.
And that was 45 pages if you shrink the font.
Oh, my. Wow.
I was like, well, I'll just print his part because,
yeah.
You know, trees. Also, paper will be very valuable in the revolution.
Yes, exactly. We will use it to warm ourselves when we are huddled in the woods somewhere.
We need it for heat.
Well, I guess if we're in the woods, it'll be trees, but
be trees,
you know what I'm saying.
But we'll need them.
Yeah.
We have to climb them. I don't know.
We will send notes to the resistance via carrier
paper
pigeon.
Paper airplane.
Yeah, paper airplane.
Jesus. Oh, God. And so today the press conference occurs. I was thinking today, as I was hearing all that, I'm going to ask Rex Hupke to give me one word that you believe describes it. I don't know if that word exists.
Mm-mm. It was indescribable. Is that a word? Is it undescribed? Anyway,
it was beyond that.
Yeah, it was weird, and I call me eternally optimistic, but I keep waiting for him to do the right thing.
I know,
to do something that is the right thing, and it's just not happening. And frankly, I don't understand even the thinking behind not doing the right thing. It would be so easy. The bar is so damn low right now. I mean, for him to just do, all he had to do was do this press conference, answer some questions.
He could suck at it.
He could even give bullshit answers and
you'd be
just
like, hey guys,
right? And but just don't be a jerk.
Hey,
don't puff yourself up.
Hey,
you know, don't.
That's all you have to do.
Don't sound right. He could have done like Marshawn Lynch from the Seattle Seahawks running back, who would like not answer any questions,
yeah.
And he'd just come out, you know,
yeah.
Dressed really crazy, and it would,
right.
So, yeah.
He could just sit there and, like, make armpit farts for 20 minutes, but,
yeah.
Like, just stand there. Just
right.
Do something.
Yeah. But instead it was this, you know, big show with all these big stacks of files that apparently have all the legal documents
for his massive
and very successful. And the lawyer, my God, how much did it cost for her soul, because I mean, she, it was not just explaining what they have done legally, it was puffing him up, like, yeah, you know, this massive empire of
his, she was the fluffer.
Oh, it was
big time fluffer.
Horrible. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there like, oh my God, how much money did they pay you?
We called general counsel fluffer.
Yeah, she must
to the podium.
Yeah, she must have, she must own an island somewhere.
Oh,
now.
God.
But yeah, and I'm still convinced actually that the all those files were actually just stuffed with old Trump sticks. They weren't even legal documents.
Trump sticks.
there was meat on that stage. Damn it, I know there was.
I mean, I thought like within a couple of sentences he lied. He said, he opened, he said, "Thank you very much. This is very familiar territory in news conferences because we used to give them on an almost daily basis. I think we probably maybe won the nomination because of news conferences."
What?
I'm sorry. I like turtles. What? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's just, and that's where it gets weird to me is that it's, you know, I can get, look, every, Obama's lied. Everybody lied. I mean, Obama got lie of the year one time, as a matter of fact, and Clinton lied, and everybody lies that's a politician. I don't generally trust any of them much further than I can throw them, but there's usually a reason for it, or there's a strategy. But in this case, it just really seems like he just says things without any particular thought or any sort of self-check to like, oh, wait, am I saying, I just said that butterflies are actually rocks. Does that make, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't have a PhD in the psychologies or anything, but I feel like it is sociopathic to just sit there and just lie. And it's almost like, I want to, you know, when someone's saying something, you're always like wondering what their thought pattern is. And I sit there watching him talk and I think his thought pattern must be he's got to believe the shit he's saying, I think. Or he thinks he's like spinning it, like he's so clever that if I say the opposite of the real thing, I'm setting the record straight. Because some of the shit is so insane. We stopped giving them, meaning press conferences, because we were getting quite a bit of inaccurate news.
I.e. news that was not flattering.
Right. And then he goes on to say something like, who knows, but maybe the intelligence agencies, which would be a tremendous blot on their record if they did, in fact, that. Like, and then he goes off about a tremendous blot. And he's talking about, like, the blot on the record to falsify. But I'm going to take issue with the phrase their record, because it's not like we all have our own record. It's the record,
right,
for a reason.
Yeah,
because it's
yeah,
like one river of knowledge, of fact, that we don't all like. Well, you know, there's the Chicago record and the St. Louis record. No, it's like these are the things that occurred. We're not even through the first fucking paragraph of this speech, Rex.
This podcast will last for 18 hours today.
Right.
Sorry to tell you all.
Yeah. This is one of those, like, those 10-hour stoner videos, right, on YouTube. Have you seen Rainbow Bunchy?
No.
Oh, my God. That's a real thing. It is 10 hours of a little rainbow dinosaur skipping or, like, dancing, galloping, sort of, playing a little song. At one point, there's a key change, then it goes back. It is 10 hours long.
That's just to watch when you're stoned.
Yes. And then there's a 10-hour loop of a Japanese pudding commercial in which little pudding cups just dance and go like, putty, putty, for like 10 hours. It's really awesome. So everybody snuggle up for 10 hours because we have some speech analysis to get through here.
Major dancing pudding cups coming right up.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if he, and none of us will, right? No one knows but him. If he's sitting there going, I'm going to be like, I am so smart. I'm just going to spin everything. If I say it as fact, people just believe me, which a lot of people do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Or if he's like really believing the shit that is coming out of his mouth.
It's kind of, I think it's kind of a mix. I mean, there's the art of propaganda, which whether he's doing it consciously or not, he is nailing down, and he's helped enormously by the people around him who just reinforce everything, even if it's complete crap. And they call something fake news when it's not fake news. And that's a term that was brought out because there was fake news being written about Hillary Clinton. And now they've taken that taken fake news and weaponized it, and they're using it against CNN and everybody else, and we can talk about that at another point maybe. But the thing that I would say about him is, and this I don't mean this to sound as derogatory as it is, it's going to, but
I'll let it rip.
So I happen to know a lot about the psychology of dogs, because I got a dog at one point.
That is 100% not what I thought you had to say.
Yes, and here we go. We just took cue the pudding cups.
Okay.
Hupke's going on a dog rant. What's happening? Podcast is off the wheels. Throw up some pudding. No, but I read this really interesting book about the psychology of dogs one time. And I did not know this. Maybe this is something everybody knows, and I didn't have to read the dumb book. But dogs live in the moment. They don't really think ahead, and they don't really think behind. They are sort of always right there. It's why if a dog pees on the carpet and you rub its nose on the carpet, it has no clue why you're rubbing its nose on the carpet. It's completely baffled by that. That's a ridiculous thing to do. And so I've actually associated that with the way Trump behaves, because he doesn't seem to have any sense of what's happened in the past, nor any concern about what's going to happen in the future. He seems to always be talking just in the moment, and it's whatever happens to come into his head, and he will say it, and then if he has to deal with something he said later, he just lies more about it, or he... I mean, have you ever heard him say, oh, you know what, I misspoke, or I said that wrong? Or,
no.
I mean, so it is all just, it's this constant forward motion. But it's just, you know, his brain exists only right in that moment, and he implicitly trusts everything in his head. And so he just says it, and there's just no concern for context or history or anything.
And just to, I mean, just to like read over the transcript, I'm going to try that again because I can talk, to read over the transcript, it reminds me of the way that people rant when they... Well, it reminds me of two things. One, the way people just talk to fill space when they don't know what the fuck they're saying,
mm-hmm.
and they just start talking because they panic.
Yeah.
And it also reminds me of the way somebody, and I'm not saying this to be funny, I'm saying it to be serious, the way somebody who is like having a manic episode like jumps topics so quickly and will just like they can't get things out of their mouth fast enough because their brain is just going. And he doesn't, like his... agitation level and energy level, like mental energy level, I don't think, it doesn't seem on par with that, but it's that kind of like rapid cycling kind of thing that's scary to watch. Mm-hmm. Like when he was talking about his appointee to head up the Veterans Administration, he's just like, first of all, you need to establish credibility. If you're the boss and you hire if you're the CEO and you've hired a vice president, you're introducing the vice president to the people, you don't go, he's a good guy, take my word for it.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit. You need to say, he has accomplished the following things, and this is the deal, and this is why I selected this person. You have to bring their credibility. And he really just said something like, where is it? He just said something to the extent of like, he's going to be great, really.
Then the whole press conference was...
There are so many pages to this damn thing. Like, I don't even know what's happening right now.
But the whole press conference was, trust me. I mean, everything about the business. I mean, everything that lawyer said and was mumbo. I mean, for most
people.
Complete
horseshit.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. We don't. Who are you? And why?
And I don't mean horseshit like bullshit. I mean horseshit like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, and what do you know about constitutional law? She's like an IRS audit attorney. I mean, I'm sure probably quite brilliant at what she does and all that jazz. But not. My first thought was like, who the hell is this? It's telling me that they've taken care of everything and that they know exactly what the emoluments clause means and the blah 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 blah. And I'm like, what? This is just a person. They could have gone to any personal injury law firm and just put a person up there and say, hey, I'm Don, and let me tell you something, baby. This is fine. Everything's cool here.
That'd be so awesome to get the personal injury attorneys that like advertise really late at night on TV where they're clearly reading a teleprompter shittily. They're like, have you been injured on the job and need a cash settlement fast?
I can help you. Like a clap in the middle as they turn towards the camera.
Or do like some kind of karate move. Yes. That'd be epic.
We will chop. Hi-ya! Your prices in half. Your taxes in half.
And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I'm sure he's got a good reason in his mind for appointing the people he's appointed, but I'm not connecting dots on so many of them. Like, just because I can turn on the fucking monitor of my computer doesn't mean that I should be like the fucking chief technology officer. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And again, easy to fix. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We have like the internet now and stuff. So if you can get somebody who's a good legal mind to write down what it is you have done and explain it
yeah.
in a way that makes sense with citations and documents and put it up on the internet.
You're good.
I mean, say it at the press conference, but say, and then go to blahblahblah.com and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And everybody can look at it and they can scrutinize it and say, okay, yeah, this makes sense, or no, this is a bunch of crap, or whatever. But just sort of like going on an extended 20-minute legal riff in a press conference where everybody's just like, what? And, you know, and don't know who's talking, or and who's the person talking is being paid by him. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, there were just it was like a million conflicts all wrapped into one.
It's all bad. And what he most needs to do, what he most needs right now is transparency.
Yeah.
He needs even a little bit, little tiniest. I found that thing I was trying to find earlier, because in the massive transcript here, he said, They are going to have a lot of good news for their veterans. And by the way, speaking of veterans, I appointed today the head secretary of the Veterans Administration, David Shulkin. And we'll do a news release in a little while. Tell you about David. He's fantastic. He will truly do a great job.
Cool. Okie dokie.
Oh, thanks, boss. Good deal. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
And again, like with the inauguration even, I look very much forward, which is a shitty sentence, to the inauguration. It's going to be a beautiful event. We're going to have great talent, tremendous talent.
Who? Right.
Why? What? Like, the whole thing is trust me.
And you start giving me reason to trust you and showing some evidence and I'll be there, but...
Yeah, it's all conjecture. I mean, everything. Even when he went on to like talk more about the VA system, he said things like, our veterans have been treated horribly. They're waiting in line for 15, 16, 17 days. Cases where they go in and they only have a minor early stage form of cancer and they can't see a doctor. By the time they get to the doctor, they're terminal. It's not going to happen. Like, that's all.
There will be no more terminal cancer under the Trump administration.
But, and I realize I'm being a real stickler about this, but like, that's all conjecture and anecdotal.
Yeah.
If you want to tell me something, say, like, the average veteran waits X number of days prior to seeing a doctor. Like, give me something like that that tells me you're not just winging it, right? And because he sounds like he's winging it. And that's the problem with conjecture and pontificating, is you sound like you're winging it unless you're willing to say something, you know, a fact-based argument.
Yeah. No, he's a... Oh, man, I can't do this. I'm going to screw this expression up. Isn't there some kind of, like, all... never mind. Whatever. Anyway, he's all talk. I mean, and that's all he is. That's all he's ever been.
I'm dying to know what you're.
I know it was. Like, it was like all. What the hell is it? It's like all horse, no.
It's all horse, no cattle.
Yeah, that's it.
Or no, it's all hat, no cattle.
All hat, no
cattle. That's what it is. Shit.
All horse,
I'm
no
getting
pony.
The Hupke disease where I can't. I'm mixing all of them.
All horse, no monkeys, as I always say.
All toasters, no fridge, yes. As my grandmother likes to say.
But no, that's his MO. I mean, he's a brand, and he's always just been talk, and there was nothing behind Trump Sticks. There was nothing behind Trump University. There was nothing behind any of this stuff, and he's never had to do that. And now when reporters try to do their job and ask him questions and hold his feet to the fire, he either just spins something that doesn't really mean anything. Oh, and then if they try to come at him again, he gets mad.
Mm-hmm. And says it's all fake. Fair.
Right. Or then he just calls it fake. I mean, it's come on. I mean, what he did to the CNN reporter there, one of their higher-ranking White House, if not the highest-ranking White House reporter for CNN, a good guy. I mean,
friends, he said, okay, questions? Yes, John. And the question was, first of all, did the heads of the intelligence agencies provide you with a 2-page summary of these unsubstantiated allegations? And secondly, to that, on the broader picture, do you accept their opinion that Vladimir Putin ordered the hack of the DNC?
One at a time.
First of all,
easily digestible.
Like, I would even go, wait, what was the first part?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Wait.
Yeah.
I mean, people are giving me directions. They're like, okay, you want to turn right on Michigan and then like left on Huron and this on that. Like, I'm just saying words. But even then I'll be like, wait, what was the first one I wanted to turn on? Wait. Yeah. I can't do it with fucking directions.
Yeah.
Like, take the exit 15, turn right, and then go left. Wait.
Wait, what was it?
What exit? Wait. So that's a long question.
Yeah, it's a ridiculously long question.
So your question should just be, did the heads of the intelligence agencies provide you with the 2-page summary of those unsubstantiated allegations? That's yes or no.
Yeah.
Because that's harder to skate. That's harder to like dance around that one. Yes or no. And then later, after you get an answer, then you ask.
Right. Yeah.
Do you accept their opinion? Because then you're asking him to throw his homie Putin under the bus or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he answers that, then you throw the three-parter at him and you say, "If how will that color your attempts to build a relationship with a bromance with Putin?"
Assuming you have not been forcibly removed from the press conference at that juncture. So.
Right. Which is a thing that occurred.
Yeah.
Because that was a thing that was, I'm going to pull up that part of it, but that was a thing that happened too. That it was like, if you continue to push, you will be ejected from this.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Spicer, the flack for Trump, came and talked to, I think it was Jim Acosta, the CNN White House correspondent, who was trying to ask a question. Trump refused to take the question. And Acosta, as a good journalist should, kept badgering and trying to, you know. And he said, "You're fake news," and shut him down. And then Spicer, I guess, came up to him. This is according to Acosta himself.
Right.
Came up to him and said, "If you do that again, you're going to get booted out of the press conference." And so there we have it. I mean, it just that is not normal behavior. That should worry people, even if you are a Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I'm sitting here like digging through the transcript right now to try to find that spot of it. But again, it's 8 million pages.
Yes.
So I have it well marked up, but there's a lot to it. It's fraught with pontification. It's fraught with conjecture. It's fraught with no cited facts. It's just like number, you know, like, you know, this thing that I said about veterans, they're waiting in line 15 for what you're saying. Like, let's be very literal here. Like, what you're saying is they're waiting on line. That means all veterans have to wait 2 weeks before they're seeing a doctor. Like, that's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I happen to feel very strongly about that particular topic because I have a lot of experience dealing with the VA because that's like a thing I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of shit about the VA. That sometimes is accurate. That's not accurate for everybody's. It's worse for some. It's better for some. Like, it's just not. Ugh, I want to burst sometimes with all of this.
Yeah, and I mean, if that were the only issue here, but the other thing is this: he's like one of those paddle balls where you bounce the ball and it's on a little elastic string and it comes back because he constantly goes out, but then it comes back to him.
Yeah.
It comes back to, "I'm great. My empire is huge. You're going to love it. Everything's fantastic. You're going to really be so impressed."
Yeah. And I think it is. We had a talk last week, I think, about dignity of the office and respect for the office. And I think sarcasm does not really have a place in an official briefing like this. So there was the point where he was asked about his tax returns. It was the second part of a question. "And will you release your tax returns to prove that you're saying to prove what you're saying about no deals in Russia?" He said, "Well, I'm not releasing the tax returns because, as you know, they're under audit," which there was a little bit of, you know, crosstalk. And then the speaker said, "Since the 70s has had a required audit from the IRS, the last place to release them. But as president," and he jumped in and said, "Oh, gee, I've never heard that. I've never heard that before." No.
No.
And then he said, and this one, I have to like stew on this one for a minute, "The only one that cares about my tax returns are the reporters. They're the only ones."
Yeah, that is factually incorrect according to any kind of polling that's been out about who. I mean, I think there was one that was as high as 74% of voters want to see it.
As well they should be.
Yeah.
As well they should be concerned with that. So there is a Twitter campaign underway. When I looked at it last, it had over 6,000 retweets on it that just said, "Retweet if you're not a journalist and you give a shit about this."
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's, it was excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is a great way to do that because that's how he wants to deal. If he says, my stated path here is Twitter, that's how I'm going to deal with the American people. Okay, we will deal with you on Twitter. And I hope it has millions of retweets.
Yeah. And but sadly, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's the problem.
Because he'll just say, "Oh, it's just Twitter."
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't. I've yet to see. You can get under his skin without question, as Meryl Streep did, and many people have managed to do. But you can't seem to do something that is going to really influence him. He doesn't respond to people being mad about something that he's done. You know, he just seems to resist and make it good somehow, or make it, you know, something that is actually positive.
Which will be interesting, as we've said, when we start seeing approval ratings, because I do think he is driven more by ego than intellect by a long shot. And an approval rating is an ego number.
Yeah.
And when that number begins to come in and it's quite low, we shall see.
Yeah, it'll be in the 20s. I mean, there's no question. There is not more than 20% of this country that is a fervent supporter of him. And I would guess it's considerably lower than that.
I would say, I bet it'll be lower than 20%. Yeah.
And again, the thing that I always go back to, and some people are going to mock this methodology.
I hate to break it to you, but lots of people are mocking both of us at any given
true.
Moment.
That's a really good point. So what do I have to lose, huh? When you ain't got nothing. But when Breitbart, when Kellogg's dropped its ads from Breitbart, I think we've mentioned this before, and first of all, Kellogg's was like, yep, bonk, bye-bye. And Breitbart said, we're banning Kellogg, my boycott Kellogg. And Kellogg's did not give
three. Why is
three,
Breitbart my grandpa?
Yeah, why they did not give three. Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess it should be more of a youthful alt-right. We're banning Kellogg's, man. Oh, now it's a stoner kind of.
Now
anyway.
It's like...
I don't know. I got to work on my alt-right
voice.
The voice of the alt-right. I have no idea. But
yeah.
So anyway, it's... They didn't care. It didn't make a damn bit of difference. And Kellogg's is doing quite fine, thank you. So I think that's it's an odd way of looking at it, but I think that demonstrates how big the fervent, passionate Trump crowd, or rather how small the fervent, passionate Trump crowd actually is, because a major company isn't going to mess around with their business if it's going to hurt them. In that case, you know, there was a good amount of repulsion with Breitbart. They said, all right, we're out of here. And boop, you know,
peace
big
out.
Deal. Now, and that's his bait. I'm sorry, but you know, if you're a fervent Trump supporter, someone who, where he can do no wrong, you're reading Breitbart. You're part of that community. I don't care what anybody says. I really believe that. I think that that is a central entity there. Maybe you're not going to the web, but you know, it's popping up somehow on Facebook, or people are sharing it, or people are talking about it to you, or you're hearing it on talk radio, and Michael Savage is referring to Breitbart, or you know, whoever, Rush Limbaugh. So. I think if things go poorly, and again, I hope they do not, but if things go poorly, he becomes very unpopular. I think you're spot on. That is going to be a real interesting moment, because I don't know if he can handle that. If there are people outside the White House protesting and his numbers are in the teens or something like that, or the, even 20s, he's going to... How does he respond? Does he crack? He may just crack up. I don't know. I mean, he may.
Because that's what we need.
You may,
we need
yeah, right.
To freak out.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think on some level, it's like bioevolutionary for us to want some basic level of acceptance just as human beings.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
that's a thing that's allowed us to survive. You want to be part of the tribe because the community cares for others in the community and you move forward as a species. That's just kind of how we're wired. However, I mean, I think. Yeah, shit, I think it'd be grating on anyone, even with a very, very healthy ego. And I say healthy, not meaning large, but healthy, like intact and self-aware, not large, because he clearly has a large ego. But I also think it's a very fragile one. I think that would be grating on anybody to just be like, well, every day I wake up and I see people outside of my home wishing I did not exist. And everywhere I go, people are telling me I suck. That would grate on anybody.
Yeah, totally.
For the same reasons that like getting harassed online grates on you.
Yeah.
Even when you don't believe it, it still sucks and wears you down. But if it's happening on such a national scale for somebody with such a visible job, that's going to fuck with you.
Yeah. And especially if there's not a large enough counter to that. I mean, I think you and I can handle a lot of the online crap we get.
Yeah.
Because we also get a lot of positive crap.
Right. But no,
a lot of positive feedback.
Right. For every, hey, kill yourself, you know, you filthy feminist whore, I get plenty more like, hey, awesome show tonight. Thanks.
Right.
I hadn't thought about it that way. And that trumps that right away.
Exactly.
God damn it. We got to have a new word.
Yeah,
we can't say
word
Trump
sucks.
Anymore.
Wham, wham. But yeah, no, that balances out. So if he's, again, he's now removed from the adoring crowds at his rallies. And he's in low teens, or I mean, sorry, he's in low 20s, high teens, whatever.
I'm going to go, and I think it's going to be lower than 20.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Yeah, I mean.
I've got like 17, 18 in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm super psychic as hell, so let's go with that.
That is true. You predicted the whole Trump presidency.
Oh, right. My track record is
oh, boy.
In the shitter, so not actually psychic at all.
But yeah, I don't know what happens. And I want to, you know, I feel like I have to keep, maybe this is dumb. Maybe I don't need to do this. I keep reiterating, though, I do not want this to be a disaster. Okay. I don't. I mean, if he starts, and that's why I keep That's why this press conference today. I wanted him to do the right thing.
It would have been much better for all of us if he came out and he was like, okay, stop. Let's do this. Yeah. Here's the situation. Let's go.
Yeah,
tax returns are out. Here's this. Here's this. And it'll be all good.
I wanted to be pleasantly surprised. And I will continue to want to be pleasantly surprised. And I will continue to speak out against nonsense as I see it. But, I mean, you know, this isn't just a witch hunt on my, you know, I'm not sitting on the sideline cheerleading, you know, a disaster for the guy. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to say that I really like him, but I could certainly say, like, you know what? Good move. That worked. And you know what? I was wrong. Some of the stuff that you were talking about that I thought was crap in terms of deals and blah, 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 whatever. And the economy's booming and something good has happened.
Hey,
and
bro, you fixed it.
I'll be like, hey, all right, you know what? I was wrong. You're absolutely, you're 100% right. And that's fine. But that's the problem, is that there aren't many people, and I'm not trying to set myself aside from everybody, but we're in a bad place right now. People can't do that with Obama, you know?
Saying about the conversation I had this morning. Like, you can't say, you know, I was like, can you just say, like, even though you didn't like the guy and you didn't agree with his policies, can you at least say, like, he clearly loves his family as treasures and he clearly is a kind and moral person? Nope. He's a monster. Like, really? A monster? I save that for, like, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, right.
Like, really? Monster? Yeah. That's a bit excessive. So how far do you think it would – how bad do you think it would have to get before you didn't have that optimistic tone? Or would you always, no matter what? Like, if it was – like, say we have complete shit show. Maybe it's worse than any of us could ever dream it would be. And it's really bad. Would you still say, I'm still waiting for him to do the right thing? I still hope that he does?
I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. That's a good question. I mean, because it kind of depends on the severity of what it is he's doing and how, I mean, if he's just, you know, if he gets in there and he just does a bunch of, you know, conservative stuff I disagree with, and he's kind of continues to be, I'll be nice and call it unorthodox.
Sure.
In the way he handles the presidency, you know, if he's not really just destroying everything somehow. Or he's not.
Well, that's what I mean.
Going after the First Amendment, or he's.
Well,
not.
Let's say he does. Let's say he goes after the First Amendment. Let's say he does have a Muslim registry. Let's say he does deport people in mass quantities. Let's say he makes the mass incarceration problem even worse. Let's say he makes you know, the most racist shit ever happen, and the worst, the like patriarchy on steroids. We already have that patriarchy on crack. Like, all the things happen, all the bad things. Even then, would you still be rooting for him to do the right thing?
No, I think there's a point of no return there, especially with some of the things you're talking about, the Muslim registry and you know, mass deportations, things like that, that I think are just inhuman. There would be a point where I'm just like, you got to get this.
Okay, well, I'm going somewhere with this, and here's why. Because arguably, if really it is a situation of like, I need to be able to think critically about all of my leaders, and I need to be able to say that was a good thing that was done, even if complete shit show has come from everything else you've done. I mean, in theory then, right? Couldn't you even like think about the worst of the worst in leadership in our world? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it still be worth pointing out something positive that even some of the worst leaders have done?
Wow. That's a...
I realize we're getting kind of philosophical here, but
that is very
like I'm saying, I was thinking about this, it was like, let's say, I don't know if this actually happened. I don't think it did, but who knows? Let's say, like, Hitler maybe, like, made a public park dedicated to somebody that, like, that saved a bunch of kids that had nothing to do with the Nazi regime, but just, like, an average person. Like, is that still a good deed that he did? Or is it countered out by you know, the Nazis and the Holocaust and all that?
I think it's countered out. Personally, I mean, I just don't, and I will say, you never hear about the good thing.
Well, you don't, I guess I'm struggling with, like, do good deeds cease to count? Do positive things cease to count if you're some kind of monster? The reason I'm going here is because I'm trying to understand why people say such reprehensible things about Obama and believe he has done nothing but bad. I don't believe that, but like, people who do believe every single thing the man has done has been bad. I personally believe that's in racial bias that people don't want to admit, but that's neither here nor there for right now. I just think somehow a good deed can't be recognized, and I'm struggling morally with, like, whether it's worth Because are we really on a checks and balance system in our own lives? Like, is everybody like around their own karmic thing? I don't know.
Well, I think the breakdown in what, I understand what you're saying, but I think the...
Good, because I don't. Okay. I'm just pontificating okay. and guessing here. But I'm trying to think, like, I'm thinking out loud, but...
But I think the breakdown is, in that, is the things that Obama has done have not been on par with the things you're talking about Trump possibly doing.
Not at all.
And I don't care, frankly, and this is, look, I you know, there's a point where I respect other people's ideologies, et cetera. There's a point where I'm like, okay, well, there's fact, and then there's exaggeration and fiction. Okay, rounding up and deporting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people is bad.
Definitely, but I'm talking
trying to expand healthcare is, you may see it as bad, but that is not necessarily bad. You may just disagree with it. So you see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah,
so
for sure.
Okay. So
for sure. And I think if you are a person who knows how to deal with just facts and, you know, look down the middle of things, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder, like, at what point, I guess what I'm struggling with is how bad does someone's track record have to be before even the purest act of good doesn't count?
Well, I think
that's like a very deep philosophical question. But like if I give someone, like someone is starving on the street and I give them a meal, that's like by most accounts the moral thing to do. But like say Hitler did that, does it still qualify as a moral choice, or is just everything he is, like his entire life choices, are they all tainted by the fact of the atrocities he committed?
That's a tough. I mean, anytime,
and this is like a bullshit hypothetical thing. It's like Hitler and I are not working on for like feeding the homeless, but
right. But anytime you bring Hitler's a tough case, I think, to bring in anytime, because he's such an extreme. I mean, that's such an extreme of evil, right, that it's a little bit harder to sort of draw any kind of a
and my favorite
comparison.
My favorite with Hitler is when people are trying to talk people out of being vegetarians.
Amy Guth just said, "My favorite with Hitler." let's pull that quote, please. favorite right. Hitler. Is-
Amy Guth, Jew, said the following about Hitler. Jesus. And then she said Jesus. She's all messed up.
Holy cow.
I didn't know what I was about to say about that one.
But the thing with...
Oh, people go, like when people are vegetarians and they're met with opposition on that, people go, Hitler was a vegetarian. like so what? That has nothing to do with what he did.
That is not it.
Like, that shouldn't be a deterrent. Like, if that's the choice you want to make, go do it.
Right.
Like, it's not my choice, but go do your thing. I just have been thinking about, because you've said that many times, like, I'm rooting for the guy, I want him to do the right thing. It would be better for all of us. And certainly you have kids, you have more stake in it because you're a parent. And, you know, that's they're going to be in the world longer than you, theoretically, right? So all future things, I think parents have a deeper stake in on behalf of their children. So there's that. Not that either of us are planning on kicking off in the next 4 years. Right. I'm just saying, you know.
It's and I really worry mainly about myself. I mean,
right. I mean, let's be clear. When I'm dead, I'm like, I'm out.
Whatever.
Goof out. Bye, bitches. Have fun cleaning up all that bullshit.
Yes. Good luck with the... Sorry about Florida being underwater.
Sorry about that bullshit. But I've just been wondering, like, because you say that a lot, I wonder, like, at what point does a moral deed cease to be moral? Because I, too, have thought, no matter what, I want him to do the right thing. And I think I mean that. Even if he's doing complete fucked up shit, I still want some good to come from it. But at what point does it not count?
Let's put it this way. If you're doing a lot of really bad things and then you do a good thing or two, it becomes more difficult to judge that as actually a good thing. Or is that just
So the good deed has to at least be equal to the bad deed.
Sort of. I mean, not exactly. It's not like it's a
scale.
You've
got us all on like pass-fail systems, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm a very binary person. It's like,
I kind of do.
Guth, your logic does not.
does not compute.
No, but you see what I mean, though? I mean, because it's like, you know, if you have a boss who's a complete jackass and all of a sudden comes by and gives you, you know, hey, here's a Ghirardelli candy square, enjoy. You're going to be like, kind of like, what the hell do you want?
You're not
going to
like it.
Yeah.
You're not going to want it. You're going to give it away. You're going to be like, fuck you and your Ghirardelli.
Right. I mean, so that's where it becomes a problem. And it's a little, so again, some of it's the severity of what the bad person we're talking about, whoever it happens to be, is doing versus the, you know, the level of good stuff. Does the good stuff seem like it's really in response to backlash against the bad stuff? So, I mean, it gets really complicated. I mean, I think it's hard.
So by doing bad things, all of your good deeds are thereby called into question. as to your motivation for doing them.
Yeah, I think so.
I just switched to the philosophy hour.
Yeah, it really
for
did.
For reals.
Holy cow. We need a crossover podcast.
Kufinuki
on philosophy. And it's this is like when SVU and Chicago PD do a crossover.
Oh, my God. That'd be so awesome. I've been wondering about that because I want him to do the right thing and pull his head out of his ass. I don't know that he will.
Well, and it's just starting. I mean, or it hasn't even started yet, Rick. I mean,
yeah, I was saying it's
so,
not.
I mean, yeah, it hasn't started yet, and so that's kind of why I'm still in this position. I mean, until the things that I think sound really bad start actually happening, then I still have a certain reservoir of hopefulness that maybe they won't happen. So does that make sense? I mean, I don't expect my optimism to hang out the entire time if I keep getting clobbered in the face with just absurd crap being pulled on the presidential level. But I mean, at the moment, I'm still going into it, and it's not like I'm like, woo, yay, Trump, I mean, at all. I mean,
not
obviously.
You're not that.
But
I just wonder, and I don't know that I have an answer either, but I just wonder about, I was just thinking about that, like, well, at what point do you not, or are those two things not related?
Well, and there's a point, too, where you're, I mean, fool me once kind of thing. I mean, there's only so many times you can go into something and
right.
hope for a change or hope for something to be better. It's like when you have an asshole coworker and you keep hoping, oh, maybe he'll get better, maybe he'll get better.
Right.
And then you try to reason and you do that. And then it's still, finally, you're just like, you know what, he's an asshole. And that's it.
Right.
You know, we're
right.
done. We're done here. And
right.
I'm
in summation, right. You're a fucking dick.
Yeah, basically. Right. Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, everybody's dealing with. Everybody who's concerned about this president is dealing with it in his or her own way. And, you know, we just kind of have to see what happens. Some are just angry and fired up, and I'm not going to sit back and scold people for being that way. But I choose to try to at least think that maybe something here is going to calibrate a little bit at some point.
Right. Right. Like once he takes the oath of office, maybe he'll realize, like, okay, I got to be cool.
Or maybe the people around, or maybe Congress, you know, who knows? Maybe, I mean, there are a lot of people here. I mean, the powers of the president are very
limited.
Very limited.
Yeah.
And so maybe he gets in there and the people around are like, okay,
nope.
You know what? You're in now. We got our power, meaning the Republicans. And
sit down.
Like, now we're going to
shut up. Yeah, we're going to do some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Did the presser that he gave today, did that change your opinion of him?
Oh, no, not at all. It was
not
the same.
At all.
It was the same
see,
crap. I mean, it was like he was in campaign mode.
Yeah. See, that's what I saw a lot of people reacting on social media that were like, okay, shit just got real. I don't think
no,
it did. I think
crazy?
It's the same.
Yeah, you haven't been paying attention. That was
it's the same as ever.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
right.
I was horrified by it too, but not surprised and not, I don't think I got new information.
The people saying that are the, I'm trying to be nice here. They're the ones that didn't vote. Okay, they're the ones that didn't pay attention and then didn't vote. And all now they're like, oh my God, he's crazy. You know, it's like, shut up. You didn't. I
right.
mean, look, no, anybody who's paid attention, that was just, that could have been 3 months ago that he did that. It could have been mm-hmm. 5 months, six, seven, 8 months ago.
Yeah,
it's
didn't.
The same thing.
Like, I don't. I mean, the only thing new to me was that it confirmed his limitation of the press in a bit more concrete way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
I know people who were personally.
Mm-hmm.
Journalists who were personally ejected from Trump events
yeah.
because they were just like, and I know for a fact, like no way in the world they were being rude. They were just standing there doing their job. Like there was some unfair targeting of women and people of color in
yeah.
the press corps. Like that's the end of it. And so that part's not surprising, but it's just, it's further confirmation to me that that's what's coming.
Yeah. And it was the first time I'd seen Trump sticks in folders on the dais.
Yeah, what the That's, shit was
if you
in
want
that
fake
shit.
News, buddy, I'll give you fake news. All
yeah,
right?
Open that fucking folder.
There were Trump stakes in there, weren't there?
Gotcha. Yeah, what the fuck? Like, I was just like, what?
Look how massive my empire is. Look at the. I mean, that's all it was. It's just like everything's sized with this weirdo. And
it was a no, it was phallic. They were phallic folders.
Yeah.
Let me walk in with big, thick folders to show you what's up. Please, seriously, no.
Look at my giant stack of penis. I mean, folders for my enormous company. We're so successful.
I think the word you need is huge.
Yeah, yes. So huge. Oh, my.
It's so true, though. I mean, every time I see somebody like with a big SUV or a truck on big tires, jacked up with, like, you know, loud music and all that, I'm just like, your penis must be tiny.
Yeah.
Like the tiniest penis ever.
So small.
And have you seen those actual, like they're like little like rubber testicles that you can dangle off the hitch of an SUV?
Yeah. Truck nuts.
Truck nuts. I didn't realize they had a name. But yeah, I keep seeing those on said vehicles that only confirms this more, right? To me, it's like, as I was saying, like clearly.
You don't see like a Mini Cooper with truck nuts.
That'd be sort of like a, what are the little, the smart car, right? The tiny ones, it's like a motorcycle in a case. Like truck nuts on it.
Hello. Check out my big giant truck nuts. Meep, meep.
I'm going to pass out right now.
I can parallel park anywhere with my truck nuts because my car is so tiny.
Oh my god!
I want to. You know what? I called him a weirdo a couple seconds ago, and I'm trying really hard to not do that kind of crap.
You called Trump a weirdo?
Yeah, just when I was talking about the Trump state, whatever, the penis and the yada yada. So I apologize. I shouldn't say. I really don't want to do that, and I keep catching myself sometimes saying things like that.
I'm with you. I'm trying to kind of do the same because it's like it actually doesn't matter if he's weird or not.
Right? Yeah, I know that's irrelevant, and that was a dumb thing to say. So anyway,
do you want to talk about BuzzFeed, or should we not even touch that?
Well, we can talk about it real quick if you want. I mean, I thought it was pretty. I mean, well, it's been, of course, now it's been spun 80 different ways, so nobody.
I'm very disappointed in the whole thing, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they published some. I mean, what they did was just publish a document.
Right. You know?
I mean, but the problem.
The problem is
it was unverified.
It's unverified. Yeah. And the caveat of like. It's unverified, so we're going to allow the people to decide for themselves.
Yeah.
Is a valid argument in many things. Like, you know, you may not believe the findings in my scientific, you know, research, but I'm going to present the facts and let you decide for yourself. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by definition, the job at hand is to. I'm sitting here like making underlines on my piece of paper as if that's underlining my point, which is
point
silly.
Made.
Radio air quotes. Like the job at hand is to verify and vet, and that did not occur, and so I think it was irresponsible to publish it.
Yes, I do too. And unfortunate too, I will say, because I have developed a lot of admiration for BuzzFeed's political coverage. They have some very good people there who do very good work, and so it really surprised me because that felt like BuzzFeed had a sort of a cheesy reputation or whatever before, a frivolous reputation before, and this felt like kind of a blowback and a knockdown on that, which I thought was unfortunate.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like I always say, is the upside worth the downside?
Yeah.
No. In that case, no.
Yeah, and I think that I think journalists have to, there has to be a coming together here to some degree.
Yeah.
There should have been in that press conference. When the minute he went after that CNN reporter,
everybody
should have deferred to that guy's question, or they should have left, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can't let that happen.
Yeah.
That's not right under any circumstances. I'd say the same thing if Obama pulled that with Fox News or whatever, anything. It's just not right. He may have. He did have some kind of a dust-up with Fox News at one point, and I didn't like that either. But it wasn't to this degree. Whatever. But So BuzzFeed, by doing that, is allowing Trump to use the fake news, blah, 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 discredit them. What they did was undercut CNN's actual good reporting, where they
it splinters us. And, and now more than ever, I think members of the press must be very, very protective of one another.
Anything that comes out of that document now, and that's not an illegitimate document. I mean, it's not verified, but that's a document that came from our intelligence services.
Right.
I mean, this wasn't like BuzzFeed pulled. It's not like some blogger handed it to him or something like that. I mean, this was a legitimate document. It's just that
it's just unverified.
It's unverified, right?
It might be true, but we do not know for a fact that it is.
Correct, and we don't generally report on things that we cannot verify, at least through a source or something. If not directly, then at least through some kind of a source, which is what CNN did.
And is widely misunderstood. A lot of people say like, oh, this shooting happened and the media isn't covering it. It's probably because it cannot be verified.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's really like that's the answer 90% of the time. We probably can't verify it.
Yeah. So even to me, even worse than the kind of sleaze factor of them publishing that document in its entirety and trying to use the you decide what's right or wrong excuse was the damage that has now done to anybody else who reports on this. I mean, that document is tainted forever.
Forever.
Now. For no reason.
Even if it becomes verified.
Right.
And it is, everything in there is completely accurate and it is proven, it doesn't matter. It will always be tainted.
Exactly.
And
the document didn't, I mean, it's not like the document changes. I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
It's just a matter of whether it's been verified or not. So
right.
It's crazy. And yeah, so I do think that was, irresponsible. I mean, there's part of me that wants to say, like, well, we, you know, we're in the information or the
post-truth, whatever the fuck.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also in the business of getting information out, and it's right. You know, that sort of freedom of information idea, and so you should put stuff before people, but it didn't.
But I think there's a difference in getting information, yeah. Like sharing it with your colleagues,
right.
And saying, here we have this. Let's all pitch in and try to verify this shit. Versus putting it out into the general public who may or may not, and I'm not trying to insult people when I say this, but like who may or may not have the training to understand
yeah.
That it is not, it might be true, but it is in fact not verified.
Well, and also, I mean, on top of all of this, I mean, let me get to the heart of it, the big thing out of that document that everybody latched onto was the allegations
golden
of golden showers.
From prostitutes.
Which, frankly, I don't give five craps about. I mean, I don't
yeah,
care
no,
if
I don't either.
I don't care if it's. I mean, first of all, that to me, as soon as I heard it, I'm like,
oh, a politician and a prostitute were in the same room.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, heaven,
first of all, I'm pro sex worker. First of all, I'm pro sex worker. So like the yeah. prostitute, like, doesn't matter to me. And he's not the first. If that's true, he would not be the first politician that sought the company of a prostitute.
Right.
Fine.
And it also, I mean, honestly, that was the thing in all of that where I'm like, that sounds like bull crap. I mean, you know, like, I mean,
right.
Maybe it's whatever, but who cares? I mean, that is like
let,
that's
the least of my worries. If the president-elect likes to watch people pee on other people, that's really up to him.
Yeah.
As long as like that person is not underage, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. Or coerced or, you know, having
yeah.
doing it against his or her will.
Right.
I really do not care.
Yeah. In the same way that I don't care about how many marriages he's had. I mean, like, I don't think those are.
I only care about that when he talks about like tries to take a moral high ground about marriage.
Correct.
And then I'm like,
right.
Fuck off.
Right. But I never held that again. Like, you know, some people tried to use that as like a cudgel again. And I'm like, well, you know, whatever. And he's not real outspoken on those kind of things anyway. But so,
I really don't care about the personal life of the president,
yeah,
as long as
exactly.
it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, I didn't care about. I mean, I didn't like what Bill Clinton did at all. I mean, I'm not going to defend any of the things he did, but I you know, there is you can separate these things out.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, but
yeah, Golden Showergate
yeah.
might be the best hashtag that we got going right now, and this is the world we live in.
Yeah, and that makes me think that had a lot to do with perhaps why BuzzFeed decided to run that, because they knew that was going to go bananas. And I just am like,
yeah,
come on, man. We gotta
sit on it a few days and let it be verified or whatever, or even if you have to sit on a few months.
Yeah.
That's still a great story.
Yeah.
If you verify it, if you're like, all this shit has been verified. But I think there's also something to be said for, like Warren Buffett talks about this shit a lot, about the unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a piece in, I can't remember where I saw it, but I'll tweet it out. But there's a piece in that's kind of like the problem with some talking heads and pontificators right now is that there is a degree of the unknowable. And at the end of the day, a lot of people are merely guessing based on the information they have. And we have shifted to adapt to that. Instead of saying that is what that person believes based on the evidence he or she has, we say it's a fact. That person said it.
Yeah.
And that becomes problematic, and that's where we are. We have so much to fix with media literacy. We've also been talking a long time, and I bet the nice listeners are probably sick of us, so we should go.
You don't think they want to hear more about truck nuts?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Next time, it's all
next
truck nuts.
Next time, we'll interview the founder of Truck Nuts on Guth and Afghan Politics. I kid. Again, let's all stick together. Let's all be sweet to each other, or at least just, you know, fucking decent. That's all I'm asking for. At this point, just like, don't be a douche to each other. That's all I'm asking at this point.
No punching.
No punching, no biting, no setting each other on fire. We'll be back next week for Guth and Hupke on Politics.